Our next case this morning is In Re Estate of Sedlacek. Council may approach.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Sedlacek?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. You may begin.
And at this time, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes if I could.
Thank you.
All right, my name is Brent Hanson. I'm appearing on behalf of Valley County today. And in a spirit of brevity, basically this comes down to is in July of 2017, the Valley County Court determined that James Posota should be treated as a class one inheritor, basically under 77-2004. It is the county's position that the court was incorrect by making that determination for two major reasons. One is that the guideposts from In Re of Hesterwick, which includes reception to home and the other seven components, wasn't met, at least in a sufficient way. And secondly, that the facts of this case are actually more akin to In Re Estate of Malloy, which is 15 Nebraska App 755. Basically, what's going on here is James Posota is the biological son of Ellen Posota and his mother. And they have, you know, and there's been no contesting the factual record that there was a healthy, close family there. Leonard Sedlacek was a close neighbor who was very close to the family. They worked together, they helped farm together. There's no contesting that there's been a close relationship. But what we're saying is that because they're close does not inherently allow Mr. Posota to be determined under the guideposts and sufficient evidence that he was acknowledged as a parent.
But again, is that a factual issue for the court?
It is, and that's to determine whether there was sufficient evidence to support that finding.
Right.
We're stating that there wasn't sufficient evidence, including the fact that Mr. Posota's will, which is Exhibit 3, I believe on page 5, it specifically disinherits all of Leonard Sedlacek's children, as he calls them. There's no written documentation that was provided that shows that he was acting as an acknowledged parent, and his will actually specifically disinherits what he considered his children and other relatives, because Mr. Posota was deemed to be basically the sole heir of that will.
So you were present for the prior argument, right?
I was.
And you're representing the county. What prompted the hearing in this matter to make this determination?
They tried to present, I was the acting county attorney at the time, and there was a submission of a inheritance tax, which would involve the acknowledgement, and from a purview of the case, it was not signed, and then it was set for hearing.
Because you wouldn't approve it.
Exactly.
Right, as requested for the 1% designation.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you would have approved it, do you agree that the court has to just accept that you have approved that determination on behalf of the county?
Well, I haven't done the research. My cursory review would be no, because the county attorney is to be an advocate in an adversarial system, whereas it is the judge in a case like that be the factual finder, the fact finder in that kind of case.
So you see the statutes to allow for the court to review the determination made by the county attorney?
I believe anything signed by the court would basically would. I mean, it'd be no different in a criminal case. Plea deals do not necessarily have to be accepted by the court either.
Thank you.
So let's go back to that same standard of review that I was talking to Mr. Schroeder about. So we're dealing with factual findings, and they should be reviewed for sufficient evidence and should not be disturbed on appeal unless clearly wrong. So why was this one clearly wrong?
Because clearly his will disinherited from what he considered his children inheriting in order to give to Mr. Posota. And Mr. Posota even filed the application.
But isn't he allowed, a testator is allowed to do that? Testators do that all the time.
Yeah, and we'd argue, and it would be stated that yes, he can do that. That is actually to show to disinherit what he considered his children and to give it to a very close friend, Mr. Posota.
Well, maybe he gave it to somebody he felt was even a closer family member than his own children.
You're saying that if he thought of him as a child, then he disinherited him based on the language?
We're trying to determination of his mindset, and from what the evidence has presented, which there were people who testified, including Larry Gillis and other ones in the factual record, that they're close. I mean, it would be foolish for myself or the county to try to contest that they were a close family, they would call themselves family.
But what would you need to tweak in the facts for the county to have agreed that there was a parent-child relationship?
Either provision in the will that specifically acknowledges as a parent would probably be one.
So instead of it just bequeathing everything to Mr. Posada, to say, because I think of him as a child?
Yeah, which would, you know, is not an uncommon thing to see in a will either, because, as I said, in years I've, you know, signed inheritance taxes, I received some that I would have provisions like that in a will that shows that intent. And there's also the fact that, now, the concept of family is not binary as people, you know, it's a fluid situation. But we're stating that for someone to be acknowledged as a parent, they have to take a substantial role that did not exist prior. Well, the facts show that Ellen Posada, up until he was passing on August 4th of 2013, was very close with James and the rest of the family and Leonard. That they worked together, but he still had that strong familial role.
So you're saying if you have a parent and you have an active relationship with your biological parent, you could never be deemed to have a parent-child? You're not saying that.
I'm not saying never, because the guideposts and anything that's provided, it has to be reviewed through the lens of the court. Now, there are previous cases, like I believe it's In re Kite 260 Nebraska 135 from 2000, where that was kind of an opposite situation where you had a family member who took in a child, but as the child grew older, the relationship with the non-parent grew stronger as the biological parent became more sporadic. That's a situation where you can't just say, no, never, just because, you know, they have a biological parent, they can't. But the statutes encompass situations where you may have an uncle who took, you know, took control and helped raise someone, or a situation like that. We're stating here that there was already a familial situation, that Mr. Posada already, James Posada, the inheritor, already had a set system, already inherited through his Eldon Posada, his father, as a child, and even filed the application in Mr. Sedlacek's case as, when he listed on the petition, as a close friend.
If the decedent had put in his will that he was bequeathing everything to Mr. Posada because he thought of him as his child, but there was really no evidence that he engaged in that kind of relationship.
Yeah. And that's why I said it would
not. It's a multi-factor situation, right?
And that's why I would agree with some of the reasoning in Embry State Malloy, where it states that the court was not stating that a written documentation is required, but without it, they could not really make a determination other than what's found by a county court. We're just stating here that the will specifically disinherited what he just called children. And that also that El Posada had a strong familial presence until 2013, and Mr. Sedlacek didn't pass until 2017. Now, he could have taken over more of a dominant parental role in that 4 years, that still wouldn't have hit the 10-year requirement of 77-2004, even though they'd been.
But you can still go back and look at the relationship before his own father died, right?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
And there was quite a bit of evidence, wasn't there, of the relationship Mr. Posada had with the decedent?
Yeah, and I'd argue that, I mean, basically three of the four posts won't even contest that were met. We know they were close. But we're just saying that James Posada never resided or was brought into the home as a child. There's no blood relation. There's no written documentation that he was a child, you know, that he was acknowledged as a child. And even there's some, parental discipline, I'd say the evidence was, I mean, there was evidence presented, but I wouldn't say that it was, you know, strong one or the other. I said it really could depend on interpretation.
So it's your position that the intent of the statute isn't to encompass all the good friend relationships where people are helpful with their friends and they have close relationships. It's really designed to be a parent-child, indicating all these different guideposts that have been set out by case law.
In fact, in Ray State of Malloy, one of the lines was that a close relationship like what the decedent and the heir had in that case is not uncommon in a rural area. Mm-hmm. You're out kind of far out from all support. We all have to kind of bound together out there. So.
Thank you. Good morning. You may approach.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. My name is Amanda Toby. I am with Peterson Legal Services out of Ord, Nebraska, and I represent James Posada in this matter. I'd like to first touch on the issue that Mr. Hansen was touching on about the fact that there was another parental relationship in existence up until 2013, which is when Mr. Posada's actual father died. The Nebraska Supreme Court has held that that is not detrimental to a relationship with another party or another person. In fact, a parent-child relationship can exist with the decedent despite the fact that the appellee, in the Kite case, the court found that that a parent-child relationship could exist with the decedent despite the fact that the appellee in that case had a relationship with both of his biological parents. I'd also like to touch on the fact that the testimony in this case showed that Mr. Posada lost his mother about 29 years ago. At that time, that's when he states that the relationship between him and Mr. Sedlacek became more of a parental-child relationship. Mr. Posada was in his 20s at that time, so he was essentially an adult. So some of those guideposts that Mr. Hansen mentions aren't going to be relevant in this case where they would be relevant in another case where a child comes into a family when they're younger.
Children who are adults and children who are minors.
Exactly.
But if you look at the factors for determination of an acknowledged relationship of a parent, there aren't a lot met here. I mean, reception of the child into the home, Mr. Posada into the home, that never happened.
Actually, the court found that the reception into the home did happen. The residency requirement isn't required there, but the reception into the home, there were meals with Mr. Posada and Mr. Sedlacek in each other's homes. There was holidays held,
I have a lot
parties.
Of people come over for meals in my home. That doesn't mean there's a parent-child relationship, right?
But the relationship that they had, like they would just go into each other's homes. They would spend time there.
Neighbors do that all
Posada
the time.
Posada spent considerable time with Mr. Sedlacek.
Don't neighbors often go in and out of each other, especially in rural communities where people tend to be closer, more connected, go in and out of people's homes, share meals together? That by itself isn't going to create a parent-child relationship. What evidence is there that there was an assumption of responsibility for the support of Mr. Posada? There's evidence of the other way around.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was going to get to is, in this case, the guideposts set by the court are non-exhaustive, and the court has said these are not exhaustive guideposts. They do not necessarily all have to be met, and in some cases, they're not going to be met. The support issue that you're talking about, Mr. Posada was an adult at the time that he and Mr. Sedlacek became really close, so that support issue, that financial support issue, wasn't there. Mr. Sedlacek did try to offer support to Mr. Posada, but Mr. Sedlacek was not in a financial state to do that, and Mr. Posada knew that, and Mr. Posada was financially okay on his own.
The county isn't even really contesting this factor, is it? My recollection is that the county agreed with you that reception of the child into the home and treatment of the child as a member of the family had been established. Is that correct?
Yes. And the relationship isn't being contested either.
Right. Could you address the county's argument that because in the will Mr. Sedlacek had basically disinherited his biological children, that therefore it also indicated he was disinheriting all of his?
I'd like to first say it wasn't his biological children.
He
had no biological children. They were stepchildren.
Okay.
That he disinherited. The Nebraska Supreme Court has held that there does not have to be a written acknowledgement in the will regarding that issue. For inheritance tax purposes, in determining a relationship between the testator and a person taking under the will, statements in the will are not conclusive by the taxing authority or the devisee. So the relationship can be proven by a preponderance of the admissible evidence on point. So that issue was found to be irrelevant by the court in this case. There was testimony where David Domina provided an affidavit. He was Mr. Sedlacek's interim attorney during a time when Mr. Sedlacek's attorney passed away. And they had some significant discussions regarding his will and regarding his relationship with Mr. Posada. And Mr. Domina's affidavit, which was an exhibit in this case, provided that Mr. Sedlacek referred to Mr. Posada, "He is like my child." So there is that testimony from Mr. Domina. One thing we haven't gotten to that I really want to point out is that the court is allowed to take other factors into consideration. And in this case, the court did take two additional factors into consideration: the community perception factor, which was basically how the community perceived the relationship, members of the community perceived the relationship between these two men. Like you said, it's a small community, and there were people in this community that testified that they thought this was a father and son. And in a small community, you would typically know who belongs to who. And so that community perception factor was something that the court took into under advisement and found that to be a very pertinent factor. The other factor, and you touched on this a little bit, was the kind of a role reversal where an adult child is taking care of an aging parent. For the last 20 years of Mr. Sedlacek's life, Mr. Posada was that adult child taking care of Mr. Posada. He provided financial support to Mr. Sedlacek. He paid bills, he paid utilities, he helped him get out from under a farm loan that would have had Mr. Sedlacek lose his family farm. And he essentially took care of Mr. Sedlacek, doctor's appointments. There was ample testimony in the record from Mr. Posada of things that they did together and things that he did on behalf of Mr. Sedlacek. And there was testimony that Mr. Sedlacek, this was the person that Mr. Sedlacek trusted the most in his life. He relied on him for everything. So
the trouble that I have a little bit with both the case, these first two cases, is the statute is set out with a specific purpose of there are going to be occasions where there may be this parent-child relationship where the tax percentage should be granted to the reduced tax, the 1% should be permitted. But it seems like that should be a pretty high burden to meet, right? Because otherwise you can have any number of people who are close, they're good friends, and in the last decades of someone's life, they may be very good friends and helpful, and should county attorneys just start granting the class one status to all of these really kind, good people, because they're able to paint a picture that, well, it was kind of a parent-child relationship. Now, I agree in your case that there may be some unique factors.
And that's what I'm getting at here, is that the court considered these guideposts, mm-hmm. and she weighed the factors, and she considered these additional factors. And based on her reviewing, or her observations of the live testimony and her reviewing the case, she came up with the fact that, yes, I believe that this person is in a class one beneficiary state. Also, to distinguish some of the cases that Mr. Hansen had talked about, in Malloy, there was no other factors suggested for the court to take into consideration, like these two factors that we've suggested for the court to take into consideration. I'm running out of time. So here, the trial court's decision conforms to the law. It's supported by competent and credible evidence, and the county has failed to provide any evidence of plain error occurring on the record other than he disagrees with the court's factual findings. So I would ask the court to affirm the lower court's decision.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? Okay, minute and 14 seconds.
All right, Your Honors, well then I'll speak quickly. Just beginning when Ms. Tilby was talking about the age in which and what factors apply, it should be noted that in Ray State and Malloy that the heir in that case was 26 years old when his parent passed. So I think the same factors apply regardless of age. Second fact, that the will, it is true that under Malloy and other cases that written documentation is not required but it is hugely important. In this case, it's unique and effective. We actually have a will that specifically disinherits, not biological, not step, disinherits children. So if he was an acknowledged parent, as would be under these facts, well, Ms. Presotto would be because they're under children in that case, which is not. He's a specific devisee under that will. And third, when it comes to the component of financial support, the evidence was also provided that Mr. Sedlacek did provide support for other individuals. He just didn't have to provide support for Mr. Presotto. We're stating that under the facts of the case, the court, there wasn't sufficient evidence to show that there was an acknowledged parental relationship between James Presotto and Leonard Sedlacek for the 10-year requirement under 77-2004. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. We will take it under advisement, and we thank you for being here. You're excused. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.